Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, I'm excited to talk with a freshman at Clark Atlanta University by the name of Jason Lovett. This is a young man who graduated from the University Preparatory Charter School in Rochester and obtained the status of valedictorian, but for unknown reasons, was not allowed to actually give his speech at his high school graduation. But Jason had a great friend, the mayor, lovely Warren, who allowed you to give your speech after it was denied the opportunity. So Jason, welcome to WCLK and The Local Take.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So tell our listeners who might not be familiar with your story, what is the University Preparatory Charter School for Young Men?
Okay, so as you said, it's officially called the University Preparatory Charter School for Young Men. It's UPREP for short. That's what we all called it. It's a all-male charter school in Rochester, New York, upstate. And basically, they came out, the school was founded by the principal, his mission statement. Like, they were trying to prepare students for college. That was their goal, to get inner city kids prepared for college.
And they were pretty good. About 90% of the graduates from that school go on to college. Now, one of the things that I found a little disconcerting was that in the mission for the school, it says that they are using student empowerment, you know, to create this culture of, you know, strong, academically strong students. But it seems that maybe it was selective student empowerment, because you were trying to empower yourself to make some changes, and that empowerment wasn't really accepted. Is that a way to put it?
Yeah, that's actually a great way to put it. Selective empowerment is definitely a phrase that I would use. It was a lot of instances before this that I could write a book about it, but it was a lot of instances where, you know, just some things just were discouraged or put down when it came to student empowerment or speaking up for yourself as a student if you saw something wrong or you wanted to make a change. And yeah, that's basically what it was. Yeah, as far as the student empowerment, when me and my principal had the best relationship, because from the beginning, since I was there, I like to speak up when I felt like something was wrong, or if I felt like something needed to be done and they weren't doing it, then I would try to initiate for that to be done. But he wasn't the type to be told no. He didn't really like that. He was an authority figure. Somebody told me he was in the school district like 30, 40 plus years, so he'd been doing this for a while, and I guess he just wasn't used to, you know, me. I wasn't used to him. We just didn't go together.
You didn't mesh. And he wasn't receptive to some of your suggestions and some of your ideas.
Not at all. Not at all.
And I don't know. I've always found it kind of strange when adults, you know, have a dislike for a child for all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. And you all were never able to kind of come to peace with your relationship, so to speak.
We weren't. But, you know, I wouldn't say, I mean, me personally, I wouldn't say it was for lack of communication, because we had a whole lot of, like, parent meetings. We had a whole lot of one-on-one discussions, me in his office, and it just never went. He was more the type, like, if you don't agree, then, you know, like, it's my way or the highway type thing. So if I had a problem and if I wouldn't let it go, if I wouldn't conform to his view, then, you know, I just got the short end of the stick, and that's what it was. And for a long time, I couldn't do anything about it, because my mom felt like that was the best place for me to be at. Everybody else felt like it was the best place for me to be at. So I didn't really have a choice.
And you excelled. You were named the school valedictorian in your graduating class of 2018.
Yeah.
So what was that like? I know that your brother graduated the year before as the salutatorian. So yeah. Was there some sibling rivalry? Were you trying to best your brother, or?
My brother know my grades is better, but, you know, we don't even gotta have that conversation, because I mean, he's a year ahead of me. So every class I took, he literally took it the year before. And I mean, I ain't gonna say my grades is always better, but you know what I'm saying. So he was the salutatorian. My older sister, I have an older sister, she was a salutatorian too. So my mom never had a valedictorian. I was the first one. So when I kind of knew because since like seventh grade, since I first got to that school, I had the highest grades and I maintained that through all the years I was there. So I kind of had that feeling coming in like, okay, I'm going to be the valedictorian. I got to give the speech. I'm going to have the chords, whatever they give the valedictorian. You know what I'm saying? I was preparing myself for that. But yeah, when it came that time, I was like, well, you know, I was this close because I wasn't able to really give the speech. I couldn't do the full experience.
And did they ever give you a reason why? Because it's the norm, it's the tradition. The valedictorian of the class, you know, gives the charge to his fellow, you know, cohorts as you all are ready to leave the world. Did they ever give you a reason why this year the valedictorian wouldn't give the speech at the high school graduation?
So officially, no, I never got a reason. I was never officially told why I couldn't give my speech. It's more of like a thing where I know why and he knows why, but he's not going to say it. The day of graduation, when I asked to give my speech, well, I came and I asked him like, okay, so I'm here now. I have my speech. When do y'all want me to give it? What's my time to go up and give it? And he was like, I was speaking to an administrator and the principal wasn't there at the time. He wasn't in that room. So the administrator was like, you have to go speak to the principal about your speech. I'm like, speak to him. What do you mean? Like, ask him? Like, I have it. That's what I'm supposed to do. So the administrator went to ask him himself. He was like, I'm going to go ask him. I'm going to come back. I'm going to let you know what he says. So he comes back. He's like, yeah, you can't give it. He just said no. I'm like, does he want to see it? Because I can show him. It's like a 3-minute speech. It's nothing long, you know, because some valedictorians can give a 10-15 minute speech and have the whole audience, you know, bored, sleep. So it's like I only had like 3 minutes worth of words, and he didn't want to see it. It was just a no. After that, after the whole thing became as big as it did, people contacted him, you know, a lot of people contacted him trying to figure out what was the reason. And his response was, it's a school matter and it's confidential. It was a school decision. It wasn't. It was him. You know what I'm saying? It was, at the end of the day, it was his decision.
So Mayor Lovely Warren found out about what happened and gave you an opportunity to give your speech from her office, which meant all of a sudden all eyes are on Jason Lovett. What was that like? Is that what you expected to happen? And, you know, how did that feel?
So the way this all went down, it was like an exponential kind of thing, because when it first started, she was supposed to attend my graduation because she knew I was going to be valedictorian. I was her intern for 2 years. I worked closely with her with events and I was volunteering. I was always at City Hall in her office. So she was supposed to attend, but she had to attend another graduation, a family thing. I understood that. So she had told me, like, have somebody record your speech and send it to me. I wanted to see what you said. So when it didn't happen, you know, she found out what happened. I didn't tell her. Somebody else in the office actually told her what happened. So then she contacted me and was like, I need you to bring all your valedictorian stuff and your speech to City Hall, and you're going to give it. I was like, okay. So I brought all my stuff. They had me read a teleprompter. I did my speech on camera, and then she put it out. So, you know, I was grateful. I was very thankful for doing that, because that was a gesture that a lot of people wouldn't have gone out the way to do, especially with her platform. Like, a lot of people don't take the time out to show that type of appreciation. So I it was a lot of gratitude for that. But at the same time, I didn't feel like it would be something like, I feel like it was going to stay local in Rochester. It's going to be like, okay, he gave a speech, we see now, and then everybody goes back about their day. Then I wake up the next morning and it's like, you know, it started off slow and then it got bigger. Like the first day, some local news wanted to contact me and talk to me about it. I was like, okay, I did an interview, they wrote an article. Then it ended up being in the New York Times, then the Chicago Sun, then San Francisco Times, and then we went on to USA Today, NBC, CNN, BET, Shade Room. It was
because Jason, you went viral. I mean,
yeah, it snowballed. It definitely snowballed. I didn't. It surprised me.
You went viral, and you know, people all around the world literally got a chance to hear your valedictorian speech.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess it turned out good in the end, and then he ended up. They say retiring, but you know, he just ended up having to step down from his position.
So now you follow your brother's footsteps at UPrep. He got a full ride to Morehouse. So he's here near you, and you got a full ride to Clark Atlanta University. So what is it like now as you have transitioned from high school, from this viral moment that took the world kind of by surprise, and now you're a freshman at Clark Atlanta? What has that transition been like?
It's a couple of things that I will point out. First, it's like it's kind of like starting over, you know, because you're going from somewhere where you're known in your area locally, and you're coming here, and it's like, I'm like, some people know me, some people don't. I'll be having conversations with people, and they'll just stop the conversation, like, wait, are you the one that gave a speech? I'll be like, yeah, that was me. Like, some people, you know, some people don't know, some people do. So I know a lot of people now just off of my personality. I like to make friends, so I have a lot of friends and stuff like that. I've never felt like I didn't fit in or anything like that. One of the biggest things I noticed is, like, the school environment from faculty and staff is such a more welcoming environment here. Like, when I used to go to school, you know, in high school, I didn't like going to school, not even for the academics, just because I didn't want to deal with, well, my personal teachers and my personal administrators, we were fine. But as far as higher administration, we just didn't, I didn't like it. So coming here, I feel a lot more welcome. I feel like I feel way more at home here than I did where I lived at, which is, you know, sad it had to be like that. But
and you're studying video design, video game design, and film.
I'm a computer science major, but I wish to go into that field as video game design. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do as a career.
And, you know, we've got an innovation center here with the School of Business where you can create some of your own kind of ideas. Mm-hmm. What does the future hold for JSON? What do you think will be going on 10 years from now?
10 years from now, you know, I want to get my master's here. I'm trying to do a 5-year master's degree program. That's what I'm planning on. Once I complete that, I'm also going to work on internships while I'm here so I can build relationships with companies and establish something so that I can get, you know, a full-time job earning, you know, a good amount of money fresh out of college. But I plan to long-term, I want to own my own company, whether it be video game design or if I go into another field, then it is what it is. I want to be a philanthropist. I'm interested in that. I feel like that's something that I could really get into, you know, charity and things like that. Also, one thing I want to do, if I was able to maintain this platform and be successful in whatever I choose to pursue, I want to promote other black business, because being here in the AUC, I've seen so many ideas and startups and people that really have good ideas, really have good products and are doing things for themselves, but it's like they don't really, either they don't have the necessary resources to get it out there, or it's like they're not putting in maybe the necessary effort. So I would like to promote black business.
I think this is wonderful. JSON, you make me feel excited and hopeful about the future. I, you know, love being on the campus on a regular basis to suck up some of that energy from our young folks. And I just want you to keep on doing what you're doing. Thanks so much for coming and sharing a little bit about your whiff at, you know, your 15 minutes of fame, so to speak.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, JSON.